So a litvak is someone that says that it is Taz L'Shem Shemayim. That's what I learned from the Lubavitcher Rebbe Rashab, that in his written down in a book called Teres Shulam, which every Chassid Sheet should read. I have a reading list, remember? The Alt Kav Defen, you're keeping track of. No, you have to write it down somewhere that everyone should know. So after that reading list, a book called Teres Shulam, which is the Sichas of the Rashab. It's like his things that he said when he was Shekir. And it's very important to understand Chassidus. And one of the things he says there is that he talks about himself, like Rebbes like to do when they're Shekir, talk about himself. And he says, one of the things that he says is, one thing he's not going to say is that he's Mechavel Hashem Shemayim, because only Litvak would say that. He somehow got into this position of being the Rebbe and having a yeshiva and whatever, but he's not L'Shem Shemayim, Chas V'Shulam. You understand what he's saying? What he's saying is that you have to be really not self-conscious of your own motivations and of what a human being means and of what God means, to think that a person could say and declare themselves to, like, be, I'm L'Shem Shemayim guy. I'm Kavat Shemayim. Yeah, I understand God a little bit, and I would love to teach it to other people and all of that, but I'm not L'Shem Shemayim. Like, you have to have a really inflated sense of how much a human being could know and be in order to say that. No, not exactly the same thing. It's more like it's like this, not like anything. You don't go around declaring yourself L'Shem Shemayim, Nick. Like, that's really, really not serious. Besides for, like, what the Baal Musa would tell you, that, come on, you're L'Shem Shemayim. Like, halavai, there should be 1% L'Shem Shemayim somewhere in the hiddenness of your soul. But that's well, the Musa way of saying it. Yeah, and but the Chassidish thing would be to say, like, you, God, L'Shem Shemayim, give me a break. We're not, you know, jumping off the roof, you know, something. You should be happy. There's certain humility. It's not really, it leads to certain, like, looseness, certain lightness of, you know, yeah, like, don't take yourself seriously. That's why I'm saying serious. You can take yourself too seriously if you know what the world is really about. That's what I think. You could do great things. Doesn't mean that you should be like a schlepper. That doesn't do anything. It's not cynical, Chas V'Shalom. Who is cynical?
This is because I don't know. It's a very cynical thing.
No, cynicism is...
I actually think it's more cynical.
No, but there's a Yitzhara of sincerity. It's like intense sincerity.
It's also one of cynicism.
People who are so... serious, like, I feel like also it's like in an uncompromising way, like, it's just, I think it's a little non-human.
I
don't think it's cynicism. There, you could understand it as cynicism, or you could do it as cynicism, but it's not necessarily cynicism. It's really lightness, like I said. Cynicism is when you're like,
I don't mean myself seriously. Is a way that prevents things from getting done.
Chas V'Shalom. You can do more things like this.
You can go to more places like that.
Is there a middle here?
Like desire, right?
A middle in the correct sense of a middle. Yeah. Of being a third definition. It's true that Hasidim, in the sense of, not in the sense, in his sense of the Baal Shem Tov, in the sense of Hasidic culture, is a lot more cynical. Just to be clear, that cynical is like Rav Yitzchak Kotner said, you know, it's a taka mitzvah to be down like avschus, but when you're down like avchav, usually you're right. in that sense, it's cynical in the sense of realistic, like, come on, be real.
No, but the problem is that carves out reality. That's the problem. It's very hard to judge reality then, because when you do that, right, it actually prevents reality from, like, developing. There's a real power problem, that's all. It's like, genuinely can make reality.
So therefore, we have to do that in the correct way. Sounds easy to say.
No, I don't mean that.
Like everything has a clip, everything has an extreme or a version which is not understanding it. It's true that Hasidim have a tendency to not be serious enough. Everything is a joke. And everyone, anyways, do you think I'm zucked? Jeder meint sich, nur ich mein mich. That's very deep, Chassidus Shabbat. And the other, that's like one clip. By the way, I know the people in this situation. It doesn't actually make them not be able to produce, not be able to support things, not be able to do activity. I don't think so.
I didn't say it makes you. First of all, okay. I'm not saying it's impossible. It can be done, but I also think it also sets the limits of what you can do. Again, your argument is that it's actually correct.
But it's uninhibited.
The other argument is that it's not ideally. Not
what I mean
ideally.
To say, I'll give you the exact explicit meaning of what I mean to say. What I mean to say is that it's not true that you have to believe that the Rebbe is a tzaddik in order to give him money or to build him a moisa. That's almost the opposite. The people that believe the Rebbe is a tzaddik, they think, he's a tzaddik, he doesn't need any money. People that think, look, the Rebbe, maybe he's a tzaddik, maybe he's not, maybe I'm a tzaddik, maybe I'm not. Who knows? But lamasa, gelt at yedain alib, and a big nice bankel everyone likes. And since he's my Rebbe, I like him, I'll give him a big bankel.
I want to leave Aaron, this is exactly why Hasidim are so cynical. This is exactly why. Because of the structures that you live in. You don't grow up in these structures.
It's not that you don't live in those structures. It's just that the structures you live in, first, are less useful and also less, more delicious because they're Lejeune Shemaim, like Panina, right?
I get it.
Like the Bris Keruv about Panina, right? You know.
Yeah.
In other words, the Litvak Rish Hashiva, he never thinks that he's the Rish, he's really the Rish Hashiva, and therefore he's skimtzich to one, the Arab Janikal, just like everyone else. He didn't have that yet.
This is where I disagree. I've seen a certain level of actual genuineness in places you would never believe. We had this fight a couple weeks ago. Like, discussion, a couple weeks ago. I think I've seen people that have genuinely, like, they're not just resident on it. Whatever, they're not
L'shem Shemaim?
Whatever, it means that they're not as opportunistic as you would think.
I think it's also like...
I didn't say they're opportunistic, you see? No, it's even worse, that's what I'm saying. I don't know who you're talking about, so I'm just...
I know, you don't know who you're talking about.
So it's not interesting. Like, this is all like Meshulam, we're saying, and I'm wishing them mind up Zainab. I am not so evil to people that mean L'shem Shemaim. Some of them are Chassidish, actually, it doesn't matter. I don't like them. Why not? Because I'll tell you why. Chassidish menal moised, in this sense of chassidish that we're calling now, we should make like new words so people don't chazal shalom think that we mean the Baal Shem Tov or the something. You know, v'yene gezukt, is a chus fundai b'sht, is a kleine chassidish, tapu chassidim, but... So a chassidish guy that has a menal, he's like this. Look, I have certain people that I want in my yeshiva, certain people that I don't. Some people that I don't really want, but they have money, so I take them in. And so on. And therefore, if you call them up and you say, look, I'm a balbat shid, I have geld, I'll give you geld if you ask. You need chas shalom, or I'm giving you, donate a window, whatever. And he says, look, I want two windows. And you say, okay, a window and a half. The kids say the guy is in the yeshiva. That's, and sometimes he says, no, I hate you, I don't want your money. But you could deal with such a person. Then you call up the Litvak, and he says, and you tell him, you know, there's a bukhar in his yeshiva, and so on. And he says, yeah, okay, but there's no room. My mom just don't have room, right? So you tell him, okay, no problem, we'll buy a folding chair, because there's no chairs, right? And he says, "Machlatzunus for me." Die machlatzunus for me. Ich machlatzunus for dich. And then he told me, "There's no room. No problem. I'll
create room."
So then he says,
"The guy I'm talking about is not to have a country
go. Wait.
We're not going. I know what you mean. This is the bad.
Wait. And then he says, and then you say." You know, Chaba, a check can donate in a room, you know? And by the way, if you're like really chassidish, you tell him like openly, like, how much does it cost? Let's get it down to business.
The frame of
and then he tells you, I want to tell you what he tells you.
A new bin, or just a mach, like a machshav type. That's the
and then I'll tell you what he tells you. Bazaar Lushan. You think I'm taking you for money? You think I ever took anyone for money? You know how many millionaires I already pushed away this year? And this Chazash Shakram, he never pushed away one millionaire. He's just worried that I'm not giving him enough money. And maybe he did. There's always one Chrednish, because there's another one that Tzikrik Medem, he can only get one of their money and whatever. But what did I think I cop? You're not for sale. Everyone is for sale. You have a higher price, no problem. We'll see if I can afford you. Everyone is for sale. There's always to think someone is not for sale. And in other words, you're playing with me. I don't like dealing with gods. I don't know. God, I know how to deal with one God, you know. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I know how to deal with him. I have Shrine Esra and stuff. But the guy that's like a Malach, you, money doesn't talk to me. You're not talking to me like a human being.
Okay, so I know the guy you're talking about. I know this guy. This is a general mask. It's terrible. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a guy who genuinely just, the conversation would never go that way. He would never go that way. Just to start with the trying to figure it out. It just,
and he, and,
go,
and, he, and money, he's still the tax and seer, like.
Yes, yes. I'm that's what I'm saying. The problem with the single thing is that you don't believe such a person exists. I've seen it.
No, I didn't
say this person is cynical. I think that is never
Kaka Angere.
And the other guy.
Go this way, he just, money is actually not as money. I'm
not the thing about Fana Bootsa. There's some people that man doesn't even talk to.
I find that the people that have this excessive sincerity, right? These people also, like, if money can't buy them, it's because they're narcissistically disengaged.
It's not true. It's not what it is.
It's like, hear me out.
It's not.
Then what are you so serious about?
Wait, like, this
conversation, they're unmovable.
The guy who has the conversation, I hear, but the other guy, that's just not what the conversation is. But the point is, here's the point. The guy that I'm talking about doesn't just say no to people who wants to come to Yeshiva. He's like, of course he wants everyone to come to Yeshiva, because I don't know, of course he wants to come to Yeshiva. What a good thing. But that's his attitude.
No problem. No problem. But that person, just to be clear, I've had this conversation, including the part with the folding chair, with more than one person.
I know the person, and I'm not denying that person exists.
And there's another kind of person, I'll let you know, there's another kind of person that is talking mamash at tzaddik, he once had a moist baby, he still has a moist, I'm not sure.
That's my point.
Wait.
The people I'm talking about don't think they're tzaddik.
I want to tell you, I should stop. Telling some complaints about people. The point is that there's another Yid. Firstly, I didn't say that there's nobody that doesn't just have... I didn't say that he has a yeshiva just for COVID and he's not conscious of it and so on. I didn't say that. What I'm saying is that says that all of them think they mean L'shem Shemayim. Some of them are liars, some of them are tackle L'shem Shemayim, those are the worst.
They're not the worst. It's not true. They're not the worst. See, this very simple take. It's a very simple take. And it's very hard for me to fight a cynical take because I feel like I look like the loser every single time.
No.
I'm just telling you that I know it's not true. They're not the worst. They have completely different language, a completely different, like, ideas of what they're trying to do. They have never had such conversations. Yeah, for 60 years, he never had such
question for you. How easy is it to change this person's mind?
What do you mean?
If you wanted to change their mind through a conversation.
When you come, you say, a boy wants to come to Yeshiva. He's like, if a boy wants to come to Yeshiva, of course you come to Yeshiva. That's his first answer. It's not a matter of, like, okay. he doesn't do this whole thing.
The first thing is, you have a conversation with him about something random. Chalisnish.
Yeah.
Chalisnish. How easy is it to change his mind?
Can't change his mind.
Can't change his mind. Why? Because he believes that he's the Shem Shemayim and nobody else.
No, because that's a different reason. I mean, it's a different reason. No, that's not the reason. You're essentially saying that whoever much the guy thinks changed his mind, he's not. You're essentially saying that.
No, I didn't say that he's not L'shem Shemayim. I think that, I see, you have to understand something. You don't have to understand nothing. It's very hard to have this conversation because, like we said, it's not really interesting to talk in generalities. You have to talk about certain people, and that would be some Lushimara. And I don't know the person that you're referring to, I don't know him. And maybe I know I'm going to be talking.
They don't exist in this whole town. Just to let you know, it's actually not there.
No, there actually are some people in this town. I can give you their names also.
I haven't seen them.
There are such people. There's even. Well, like, let's not get into politics. I'm sure there are such people. That's not a question. I think that. And also, not every, like you said, not every chuzad is a chuzad. Not every litvak is a litvak. It's trofna ayach, litvak is a nishka.
Okay, exactly. They're very earnest about everything they say. And they just that conversation would not exist.
I didn't say that conversation would exist. I didn't say that conversation would exist. I said that person who Pushit has a yeshiva because it's a mitzvah to the Arbat Torah and he's trying to, you know, to teach Eden the Torah and so on. And he thinks that he's L'shem Shemaim, like he's very clear to himself that he's serious, like he's L'shem Shemaim. There's something, why don't I like him? I just don't like him. I don't know why. Maybe I'm Arusha, I don't like people that are L'shem Shemaim.
Why is it so hard to change his people's
mind? Why does he need to change? I'm just curious. Like,
why does he need to change his mind?
About his personal opinions?
Most of these people
85 men
are so precious to themselves.
No, that's not what it is.
Because so why is it so hard to change his mind? I'm just curious. Why do you think?
First of all, in some sense, you could argue, let's say, relative to the people in this year, they're very shallow people. So, meaning to say, they're not going very deep. So, in some general manner, maybe they're happy.
I like the compliment that we're so deep and that the sheep is shallow. Maybe. I'm sure I'll finish. You know what I'm doing? I somehow believe this, and somehow I'm making latunas of it.
Yeah.
It's somewhat true, but also like, come on, we're. It's hard. It's something.
I think it's almost about to change.
I find that for some of these people, when you talk to them, it's like, forget about changing their mind. They don't even know how to engage with things outside of like their own immediate.
That's most
very narrow vertical. I think that it exists in a matter of degrees.
It's true for all people that are L'shem Shemaim.
Yeah.
Everyone is L'shem Shemaim.
Right? People that are L'shem, whatever Shemaim they have.
They don't even think L'shem, that's the point. They don't even think L'shem Shemaim. This whole discussion, they don't actually.
No, I do think. They don't say it. No, of course they don't.
They don't think it even.
I know. I find that, like, for some people, at least I can get them to engage in something, and like they can engage me in something. I can be narcissistic sometimes, but like on a better day, I can be moved by something.
Why do I think about the guy that, like, if you offer him $50,000, he just says no? Just to be clear, everyone likes $50,000, maybe it's not enough. So $50 million, doesn't matter. Now, just to be very clear, of course, maybe I don't disbelieve that there are yeshivas that don't care about the money. Those yeshivas usually close down because they don't pay payroll. But
actual human beings don't care about money because they grew up that so they train that money means nothing and the only currency there is.
See, you don't believe a person. A person like this exists. And
it's not about I don't.
The people are poor for the 8 years old.
They don't think
they're poor. Here's the point. They don't think about money that way. They don't think poor is not poor. When you're in a situation,
no one's saying $50 million.
Everything I say is a mushal. It's a mushal, an illustration for something. The reason why I say this, is because this is my personal mishigas, and it's not a real person because I'm a bad person. But the reason why I use this is because I'll tell you why. Because to be very clear, right? I don't actually have $50,000 to give out to people like this. Maybe I could raise it or something. But when I tell someone, I'll tell you why I like get bothered by this. Okay, let's say I call the Yid. Let's say it's Tak L'Shem Shemaim. And like you said, usually it's because the Shoytan Abachim doesn't realize that there's another Pshat in the Shemaim. But okay. But let's say he's Tak L'Shem Shemaim. And then I call him up. And you have to realize, whenever I'm calling up this person, right? He's in a position of authority and I'm asking him for a toiver, right? So he's above me. And I don't like that because I'm Balgav. I don't like people being above me. I like people being Shuvah B'Shuvah. By the way, that's the definition of Gava, being above other people. I love that. Okay, now, I don't like being a Shemata. I like being treated as an adult. Mishagas that I have. A lot of people in Lakewood, most people don't have this thing called pride. They don't have gava. It's one of the middens that the Yeshiva Shechinuch manages to take out of its most of its students. But for whichever reason, for me, it didn't work. And therefore, I'm Valgava. And I don't like to deal with people that it's very clear that I'm this little knecht, and he's the kmeilich that I have to bixach to and say, please do me a favor. I know that it's l'ani ru'i v'ani kedai, but chmein, v'roi v'rachmecha v'chasadecha. You know, even for God, I have comb that I can. So, people are laughing. I know it's so funny. Yeah, I don't like it. So, whenever I have this conversation with this, now, whenever I have, even in my head, whenever I think of this person, right, I'm old, I'm scabbard, b'klein chavad, right? So I have to find a way how I'm really above him. So, ez ha-shoyte, ez ha-tomem, ez ha-rush, that's how life works, right? You figure out how to put everyone down, so you should, I don't have, let's say I would be, metak my middle sagav, I don't have to be on top of him, at least I'm the same, right? To us, me and you, how do we say? Everyone is equal before the eyes of God, okay? We're all... Well, Murichkis in God's world. That's all. Simple. I like that. I don't. In my good moments, I don't have to be above you. Ich bin Murichke, du bist Murichke, und I habe gemacht alle Murichkes, and schon. Murichke is a bug. Der Hashem Tov, it says in Zivosiribash, when euch itilas, v'lo yesh, a person lives, you should think, he's a friend with all the worms. What is the difference? They're alive, he's alive, and so on. So, now, when I call this person, then right away he's like, he's making his important. If I'm ruhi to even talk to him, and like to argue with him, I know all these people. By the way, I don't know about Lashem Shemayim people, but every single one of the people that I spoke to demand, and even the people that we were talking about before, demand a huge amount of respect. I don't like when you talk to me without respect, but I'm so evil because if you pretend to be equal, I don't mind. Like, you argue with me, if you see that I'm equal, I say you say shtisim, you say I say shtisim, no problem, we're equal at least. Maybe I would like more if you say, hey, see Yitzchak, what do you say? But if you're equal, I also like it. But if you need me to like, chazo shum, oh, the machst letzunas for me? Who do you think you are? You know something? Make letzunas back. I didn't say that I'm more than you. Why do you think you're more than me? Ah, and then the guy calls back the next guy. You know, we can't deal with this parent. He doesn't have their cheretz, achna, whatever, they have all kind of words. And, like, seriously, I have to have their cheretz for you. What do you deserve? What do you do to turn your their cheretz? Because you're a bigger bully? Okay, so why am I getting into this thing? So, what do I do? I'm looking now, I'm in a conversation with the guy, I'm always looking for a way to figure out, even when I talk and eat a person, let's say he's a gvid and I'm asking him for money. It's in my head, all of this is in my head, right? I don't know if the guy is trying to put himself on top of me. It's in my head, okay? Just to be clear. It's always in my head. It's always in my head. Wait, let me finish my story, then you'll talk. It's always in my head. Sorry, I'm the magician here, I get to talk most of the time. It's always in my head, but, okay, I'll talk. We'll think soon about that. Then you should write down your questions. You know how people do panels? You have to take notes, so you should remember your kashas on me. Otherwise, the conversation gets very messy. So I find ways. But true story, even when I go to a professional, like a doctor, and I need his help, and I'm masking, I'm paying you for your help, I always have to make a joke in the end to figure out that, you know, Lamaster, we're both human beings. Come on, right? I'm buying for you some service, some knowledge even, but like, so Shemich, yeah, you do. People like, most people like this. Most people, even when you're going to the big, was the guy that you need his loan from the bank, and then you make a joke about your shvige, and the ochtach shvige, we're both suffering from the shvige equally, so you're friends, right? That's how people become friends. Amos? Yeah. We don't like people, even usually the people in positions of authority don't like to only be that. They like it, but. Right? So, now, there's.
Shared dominance or shared misery.
What?
People bond over shared dominance and shared misery.
Yeah, okay. I like it. So. Like last week I was by some professional about something and then I asked him like, zwischen mich und dich, the system is corrupt and you're just part of it. Yeah, sure. Okay, no problem. I'll pay you as much money as you want. The system is corrupt. If the guy that doesn't say this, I get very nervous. Like, what do you mean? Why are you drying me a cup? Literally two people that I'm dealing with in the same kind of situation. And one of them I could talk with because... Yeah, the system's corrupt, but we have to deal with it, we have to take care, and I'm a good business making money off the corrupt system. No problem. Mashiach will come, we'll fix the other guy. So now just to get back to my money example. Now, therefore, when you call this Yid, and he is the Gros Melech over here, and I have to get his favor. So one very simple way, and for example, people that actually have money, they do this all the time, right? One very simple way to make sure that he's not actually over me is to say, look, I know that you're very important. You have 17,000 rules in your algorithm when you decide who passes for your chayder, right? Very tifa chokhma that he can't even explain to anyone. But I have something else. I'll pay you $50,000. Tell you it's enough. So now I'm equal with you, right? Not above you, even maybe a man. But at least I'm equal with you. Me and you are both like money. You need it for your moizet. I need it for my kid to be in the moizet. Let's exchange. Someone's unequal. That's called business, right? That's why capitalism is equal. Makes everyone equal. Everyone is for sale. Everything's for sale and shine. And this guy is like, no. So he's making sure to not be equal with me. That's what he's doing when he's refusing the money, right? And this, by the way, he's going to send his shvuga next time to be meramez that lamas. It would have worked. It would have worked somehow, right? But he never could talk about it straight. Why not? Because then he would be equal with me. Then we're just in a business. Then we're just both two people that have, I have something you need, you have something I need. Let's exchange it. No. Now, that's why I'm using this example. It sounds like I'm saying that it's very bad. I don't actually think that it's very bad that the guy is for sale. Why shouldn't he be for sale? He's selling something. There's a price. Now it's corrupt. Why doesn't he charge the same amount for everyone? Why is this cash of a mass? But I don't necessarily think that it's the worst thing. I do think that this, like, no, I'm a Shem Shemaim, I don't take money, is just a way of him being, no, I'm not Bichlal your friend, I have nothing to do with you, you owe me everything, I don't owe you anything. The people that are corrupt, they owe you always. That's my, the reason why I say this. Now what are you going to say?
Two objections, I've written that in my mind. One is, that the person I'm talking about, I know the guy you're talking about. The person I'm talking about, you wouldn't talk to him this whole hot, you wouldn't get this whole feeling as much. Again, you said this in your head, but I think there is a difference. He doesn't talk to people like, oh my god, I'm the guy and I have the ganze chashbayis. That's not how he talks in the first place. The conversation would never start that way.
Okay.
To the extent.
Say the second thing.
The second thing is. No, I'm just saying,
I understand.
If it's true that there's a better guy, the reason, just to stick up for the bad left facts also, the reason why they're bad is not just to keep you down, that's also true. I'm not saying it's not true. But I think part of the reason is because they know there's something better and they're just pretending they're bad. Because they have a guy, and they know there's a guy who generally doesn't care about money, and they want to be there. You think I care about money? Because actually this guy doesn't care about money. They're actually this guy who's like not in his fault, doesn't say yes, doesn't say no, just stop, that's not the conversation he ever has. And he wants to be that guy, so he's like, here, you're saying I'm not that guy, and that's what
I'm saying. So I have a crowd. But Lamasa, both of your points go back to the same, because your second one is the one that's pretending to be different. So I've dealt with the first person, okay? I can give you names if you, whatever, off camera. Talk to people that where we know, or some of you might know, that I, as far as I know them, they're Taka L'Shem Shemayim. I don't know, Lafka about money and other things. They're Taka L'Shem Shemayim. And in some, how, you want to ask me how actually they are in human relations? They're actually bad. They get into fights with most people around them. Very few people stay working for them for very long. But even if yes, that's like in a very weird way. And somehow they do have money for what they need. Let's be real. None of them are actually ever getting thrown out of their house for not paying their mortgage. Somehow he understands that he needs money. It's true that he really doesn't. I don't know how to explain this. But that's me being cynical. Time to preview. Yeah, I've had it. And somehow his broken car, it's always there. It's not like one day he doesn't have a car because, a car costs money and gadol is missed. No, somehow he always has a car. But now, and this person, so back to my main problem with him. It's not like you said you can't talk with him. Okay, it's always action. Like you said, a lot of people are action and a lot of people are stuck in their mind. He's actually always on top of you. Now, it's true that he doesn't do it. The guy that's a faker is the worst. I'm asking that he's worse. I'm asking that the fakers are worse. And I'm also asking that there's a very big value. I think there's a great virtue in these sincere people. And we lose something by losing those people. And it's a generational thing. And I have a whole spiel about this. And the Hasidim are just a little more advanced than Litvaks. The Litvaks are getting there. In America, they're slowly, in Israel, they're all already there. There's a generational thing going on here, and there's reasons for it, and Chanshan Koich for that sociological delusion now. You know what I mean? I might have stuff said this through. I had this conversation with people. Maybe it was never like recorded. But in any case, this is true. But if Lamas, if you think between me and that guy, me personally, I remember him, some person telling me the craziest, delicious things, like how I should live, whatever, what he's going to do to me. He didn't, what his idea was. And it was like such, and the guy was like, looking straight, like for real. It's not like he was bluffing. He was not bluffing. Like, I really hold the little guy on the head, and like, how taka, and how can't man breed the sugar? Folgeschick man breed in the head, oh, it's like, weiss the folgeschick man breed in the head, oh, like, name is the Chairo. It's the Chairo. There's something, I don't know what. I don't know why I don't like him. I like him. I actually do like the person, in the sense that I have a lot of respect, a lot more respect than I have for the other guy that I'm talking about. But, for some reason, this clip of a Meinel Hashem Shemaim is exactly red from the enem, nicht red from the fake. I want the fake is a faker. Ich rede nicht von der Fake, ich rede von der Emes, die Gelesh Hashem Shemaim, und ist ein Litwak. And if he would be Chassid Shid, he would never act that way. He might have done bigger dishes, I don't know. He would never like have this, like there's no, actually, think of this, but there's actually zero ways for anyone to relate to him. There's no way, you know, like, for example, like, I'm going to give you very low examples. If I go to a big Chushev Ayid, and I need something from him, or whatever, like I said, let's say I need an Eitzer or something, and I'm in a kabbalah from him, no problem. And then, since I have this gava thing, then I don't know, how do people make friends? You know, by fressing together, by doing some tava. Let's at least have a psychical nivel peh, like, let's see that you should laugh from it, you know. Zwischen mir, ich weiß, dass die davon slang of Shemanesri for me, and you, everything, but lemaz, we're both human beings, and we all both like the same chazarai, right? Now we're equal. It's very important. That's how people. Nobody, you know, it says in the Torah, Svur Magdoshim, friends that sin together, stay together. No, it doesn't say. I just made up this thing. Sin together, stay together. There's no such a Svur Magdoshim, but it says in the famous Torah from the Rabbinim that I like to say about the Yehida, right?
Oh.
No, the Rabbinim said that. The Rabbinim said, it's not his mom is the same Nakida, but Nafchazan Nachsid Shavat. Rabbinim said that in the whole Torah there's only one friend. Only one Yid in the whole Chimish had a friend. In the Chimish, and then the Tanakh there's more. What? Well, David the Melech had friends, yeah, it's true. But in the Chimish, there's only one Yid that had a friend, and it was Yehida. And he had a friend who, we don't know his name, but he was a Kanani from Adilam, Re'ehu Adilami. And what did he do with his friend? That Yap Samasi, he went to a Zayina once, and he had to pay her, and she had a mashkin, and it was mamash bishes. It says version of the music that it was bishes. And so what did he do? He called up this friend, he said, look, you know me, you know her, you don't know her, but you know the gig, go find her and get me back my mashkin. So the Rabbinim said, that a friend is someone that you don't shame the tongue your virus. That's what a friend is.
Is that a
cookie? Yeah, okay, no, not that.
Why?
Because it's very different. Not mask. This is not aiming for friendship. He's aiming for stopping the virus. It's different. It's a whole different aim. That's not because they're saying you should have a friend that you should be open so you should stop doing the virus. I'm not saying you should stop doing the virus. I'm saying a friend is someone who doesn't betray you, even like the Goyim said, if a true friend is someone that helps you hide the bodies, right? The illusion of the... Right? That's what he's saying. And what, according to my, this is not, I never understood it exactly like this, but according to my Shmiz today, it has to do with equality. Aristotle and the later in his book that we need to study, has a long drusha about friendship, and one of his important maskunas is that you can't actually be a friend with someone too high. Friends have to be equal. And one of his conditions for friendship is equality, and therefore he says that a man and wife, mushla, are never really friends. Because someone is always higher than the other. Like, for him, the man is always higher. You could be friends in these ways of equalizing it, like we said, you have something that I don't have, and I have something you don't. He talks about ways of equalizing it. He says, for example, nobody's a friend of gods. No human being could be a friend of a god. You could, we call it friendship, philia, it's some kind of friendly relation, but it's not a friend. Not what he mainly calls a friend. So in the same way, since maybe friendship is not the main virtue, I don't know, but I like to be friends with everything. And therefore, I don't like people that you can't be friends with. You can't sin with them. Like, he never, like, I can't get you to any avaira with me. Like, not even to absolution hara or something. Like, how do I know what kind of person you are? You're not a person, Bechlal. You're a malach. Okay, say it.
Again, you're still not talking with other people. I'm not saying on the camera. Well, I'll tell you what the type of person I mean. I think we're talking with other people still.
Hmm?
We're still talking with different people.
Could be.
Like that's not the person you're describing is not the ideal person I'm describing.
Could be. I don't know. I don't know who you're talking about.
Forget about gender. Is there a possibility?
No, the
I'm trying to think. Right.
The ideal I'm picturing would not have this all round of things that you're saying does not apply to this ideal that I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying.
I'm trying to think how there would be like who I would talk about. I don't know any of anyone. Like Shaul HaMelech. That's why I'm not friends with Shaul HaMelech. But I don't know the person. Not gonna help me. I know a lot of people.
I explain to you. Do you think that, like, Tamim's thinking about, like, Shuvah types that are actually, like, Shem Shemayim without any cynical, without any anything?
I have a good friend about Shiva.
I'm the person who thinks that everyone else also, like, means good as well. Because that's
what I'm saying. But Tamim's thinking about Shiva
types.
No, I'm asking him, Stan. Do you think
that... One of the clues that you're describing is that this guy's very sure of himself. I'm very sure that he knows that. He's trying to make sure.
By the way, that person I was talking about, I don't think that other person thinks that everyone else is not Lashon Shemayim. I don't think that this necessarily like this. I don't see why that would follow. Like, why would you think? I'm just trying to see that maybe he's the best real tzaddik, just I'm not his friend. I don't know how to be his friend. And I don't like people that I can't be their friend.
Why is he above you? Why does he think he's above you then?
And it's not that he thinks, Taka is. He doesn't have to think. He actually knows it. I don't think he could not know it.
Even if you're both Lashem Shemayim and he thinks that you're Lashem Shemayim.
Oh, if there's such a person.
He makes jokes, don't worry. He also makes jokes. No, not jokes.
If he makes jokes, then he's talking out of tzaddik.
Okay. He doesn't think he's a tzaddik, this guy. That's the whole point.
So in general,
he's not a litvak.
Exactly, a litvak tzaddik thinks that it's tzaddik. That's usually how it is.
Okay, fair.
That's what I by definition. If you found someone that's not like that, no problem.
This ideal that I'm talking about is not people who think they're tzaddik.
Well, I find very.
No problem. If he doesn't think he's a tzaddik, then he's not a litvak. A litvak thinks that it's tzaddik. Again, that's my
idea.
Yeah, no problem. I'm getting a definition.
Every
definition is a true Scotsman.
Okay. No, I'm saying so. I think it's like if there's certain people you talk to them and like you could tell that they're like they have a keen eye on like the sanctity of their domain when you talk to them. And they're not necessarily. They're very nice, very nice, very soft spoken, even gentle people. I'm not joking, but like you feel this kind of like this like a nasty purity that like I at least feel like it just. It's a horror movie. This guy's still like 2 minutes before Shachar sitting in a seat looking at the wall, like waiting for it to start. Don't get too close! Like, I love you and I'll talk to you nicely afterwards. Please don't get too close to me. You feel like you're talking to them and like they're being so nice to you, but they're like begging you with your eyes, please don't defile me.
No, he's not talking.
Yeah, that's
yes.
I would say it's like stereotypical. The guy is very subtly policing the whole conversation. It's a genius.
The guy is very subtly policing every conversation, make sure it doesn't go out of the
bag. He's so gentle, like, and nice, genuinely nice. Yeah. They're nice people, but like, they're just like.
The Bluzer is saying, mainly is saying that this is all nice drushes, but if we don't believe in. And being for real, we're never going to be for real. But the shala is, if being for real is good.
Exactly, 100%.
That's the shala. I think...
The downside is that the thing you're saying makes the world be the way that way. It actually makes it.
So I think that... Thinking ideally... That you don't need that. Because maybe there's a tzaddik that's almost a tzaddik. Could be all this kind of tzaddik, weiß nicht. But I feel like we don't need to be that kind of person to be sincere. I think that I'm a very sincere person. That's what I think. And I don't think because...
Why do you say machlitzunas? What happened? What was that sentence?
You understood exactly. Because...
Just say you're serious.
Because I'm getting the whole drush again saying that. And without being angry, no, without being or very like flat, like you're saying, I don't know if that's really the point. I don't see how being stupid is anything to do with anything. And I think that let's explain why like there's a theology here, right? There's a theology here. What's the theology? The theology is that at the end of the day, everyone judges themselves, or tzaddikim etzteveshtam and so on. Everyone judges themselves or is judged by the greatest thing to him. Okay? And the reality is that the biggest litvish tzaddik, you know my Torah, I told you the story, there was a Litvak that heard the Chassidish Yidden talking about their Rebbe, that he's mamish like a god. And he was very upset, it's like a vedezure. So came Chassidish Yidden and told him that, you know, I have to tell you something, whatever you think of God, my Rebbe is taka bigger than that. So, at the end of the day, there is a real, this is like what we said on Sikkos. I have to remember that there's a real difference between the Chassidim and the Litvaks in terms of which God they worship. In other words, who really judges them. And I don't think there's, like, even the Vilna Gaon himself is worshiped the God that was after the Tzimtzum, as he says Beferish many times. And therefore, his God is very limited. And therefore, you could be a tzaddik. He could be a tzaddik. And he knows that he's a tzaddik. Why shouldn't he know? And from this comes this like style. And every Chassidish Yid, even the ones that don't understand much, and also every person that has had some like real things in his life happening to him, there are other ways to become Chassidish. You don't have to be growing up anywhere. And not always it helps. But any real human being, in my opinion, is someone whose God is really infinite. Infinite is a relative term, right? Infinite means more than what I understand. Infinite means more than what any human being and what any malach and what any sphere ever understood. And since that's ultimately who judges you, or what judges you, maybe it's not even a who, or maybe it is a who, machloek is a paskim, ask what's his name, the guy, whatever, a Friedman. And actually, yeah, what this means is that ultimately there isn't such a thing as being a tzaddik. There's such a thing as being a balshiva. In the sense of balshiva, not in the sense like you were saying before, that someone that really found the light. The opposite. In the sense of someone who's like, there's very different, many different formulations of like how to even talk about this. Like, do we not believe that there's any good in human beings? Just the opposite. The Chassidish infinite God usually has a lot more compassion than the Litvish one. In some sense, doesn't even need compassion. He's beyond everything, but he accepts everything, but he also demands everything. That's why there's something very weird when I say you can't be a tzaddik, as if you can't be yotze. It's not true. It's not like very different from how a Baal Musa would say you can't be yotze, because the demand, the Baal Musa have like a word for this, like the tviya, how do they call it? There's always like an infinite demand to them, like you can never be yotze, because there's like takas and they have these wishes. Even Yaakov Avinu wasn't a tzaddik enough, you know, whatever. Not because of that. Almost the opposite of that. Because nothing really exists, because nobody really knows. There's no real concept and relative to what really judges you, to what's really your God. And what this causes is a certain freedom.
So coming from like a certain, like there is an absurdity in that difference. And you kind of laugh when it's that absurd.
Yeah, there's something, you could laugh, you could also cry about it, it doesn't matter. These are the questions like how to formulate this. Does it make you laugh? Does it make you cry? Does it make you yira? I have things like it says in Perek Bais of Seder Torah, Perek Gimel. But in any case, it makes you not be able to be a tzaddik. There's no such thing as a tzaddik. Like human life is not complete. There's no life either. But for sure not human life, but really no life. So it's not like souls, Nebuch, we're humans. Like if it would be a malach, it wouldn't help either. So I think that this really causes an inability to like ever say like, here I've created God's house. Like even when Shlomo HaMelech said that, he said, no, there's no God. God doesn't have a house, but I've created his house. Remember the drusha that Shlomo HaMelech gave when he made the Beis HaMikdash? And the Litvak is someone that says the second part of the drusha without the first part. That's what I mean that he says, that he means L'shem Shemayim. Right? We're making a yeshiva. Yeshiva is a mishkan l'shechina. Very nice. I have news for you. The Shekhinah doesn't fit into your yeshiva. It doesn't even fit into all the worlds together. Thank you very much. Yeah, and that is for you, but you don't fit in. So how? Okay, that's for God to figure out. Somehow he can do both because he's even greater than being infinite and all of that. But this understanding, I think, is lacking from every Litvak. I've never met a Litvak that understood this yet, even the ones that claim to understand it, or the ones that do would be converted, basically. Like, Christians call this grace, right? This understanding. Something related to what Augustine calls grace. And this is what really lies behind this. This is like the highest way of saying it, I think. And because of this, like, this is the question, like, I don't want this absolute sincerity, which is like, it becomes also a style, like, there's also like a style in it, like, so like the opposite is just a style, the style is just cynical and like making the littleness of everything. And there's like this style of like, we're building God's house. It is something that seems to me like wrong. Like, it shows you that you don't really understand. Like, just like, I'll tell you a Litvische Wort, way of say example of saying this, but it's not correct. So Rav Soloveitchik, the Boston Aruf, said, I saw a shmiz from him that he had a shir for Balabatim, Sechtes Bruches, I think. Something, there was a shir for Balabatim. I don't remember where. There was a shir. And one day they finished the Pairik, or maybe they even all Masecht, I don't remember, and he made a siyum. And he gave a drisha by the siyum. And he said, this is the first time he made a siyum in his life. Why? Because let's be real, we don't ever finish a Masecht. If you're a lam, there's no such thing as finished a Masecht. Shiggy finished a Masecht. Balabatim, they think they finished a Masecht. So for the Balabatim, he made a siyum, and he gave them a nice drisha about how great the Torah is and everything. But he never made a siyum. Of course, you could make this in like the wrong way, like, you can never be yotze. You should make a siyum because you should be happy. It's the opposite. Chassidim say you should make a siyum because they never thought that they're going to finish, you understand? That's where they make a lot of siyum in. You know this story, like, the Beit Ger Rebbe met Rebbe Simcha in the 9 days. And the Ger Rebbe Reb Srol, he wasn't the Ger Rebbe then. And they were eating flies in the shtibl. And Rebbe Simcha said, what's going on? He said, don't even make a siyum. So I said, who's the siyum off? Like, I got to make for him. So I said, I'll tell him. So I said, yeah, but your siyum can fly. I can't milk came in his test. But why do Chassidim make a siyum? Chassidim said that siyum, samach mem, aleph lamed, is rishnai v'siyum esech ta'ayin las. Setrach says he shouldn't make a siyum. Why not? Because Setrach says, look, you can't ever do anything. So therefore, you never make a siyum. Chassidim says, of course you can't do anything. That's why we make a siyum. Masa, Baruch Hashem, we managed to finish, to read through all Masechta, Yoruf Hashem, Nishv Hashem, and so on. That's the chilek, that's the yisod. That's why Chassidim are the people that don't say they mean Lashem Shemaim. Because they understand a little better what the Shemaim is. And that's why they're not serious people. It's true, you have to be a little more serious to do anything in life. That's why the Klippas of Chassidus is just not be a serious person and sit in the shtibl all day. And like, but their argument is that the correct version of that is to build a big Bais HaMikdash, a Bais HaGudol, it says like something, a big Bais HaMikdash. Because if God doesn't fit in, he might as well be the biggest. But not because the biggest he does fit in. It's just like a sheep, if it's too big. Reis HaBais HaMikdash. And in that one, God doesn't fit in the chav. And then he does fit in because there's a univishfal riach and makom shatamaytzik d'lisak d'shbarach shematamaytzam v'sanisay. And God actually, unlike what Aristotle said, this is what Rabbi Yochanan said, God doesn't have a problem pretending to be equal with you. Of course, he's just pretending, but we don't care. Like, I have a klal that if someone pretends to be nice to me, I accept it, even though I know that it's not true. But that's the nekeda. I don't know. Anyways, that's like the ideal reason of why. I wouldn't even want that. Even if the person is perfect, and he's so perfect, he knows how to not like pretend to be to lord over you. So it's even more perfect. Why would I want someone like that? But it's true that when we talk to the Chassidim, we have to talk more about sincerity. Somehow, like I have that horseshoe theory that if we push so much in this direction, maybe it will. It will lead all the way to sincerity where it's needed. I don't know if the horseshoe theory works for the theory of extremes and middas. How does it work?
That's just a question.
Like, my ideal would be something like, since, let's push this all the way. No human being ever, like, there was no tzaddik ever, okay? I wrote a medrash, I want to tell you a medrash in Parshas Lech Lecho. It's, I found a secret medrash. And it said like this, that's Machloikas, Yesh Amrim, which Avram Avinu was 3 years old when he was Ikres, but Yesh Amrim was 13, Yesh Amrim was 48, Yesh Amrim was 75. And then it says, Yesh Amrim Sha'adayin Lehikra Avram Avinu is Baira. That's what it said in a different medrash. Shtayist? Because what's the pshat? Everyone has was speaking according to what they understand from God. Some guy is God, you can understand when you're 3 years old. Like Rabbi Chana Vasama, like, obviously there's a God. Okay. Ben Shalai Shekhar Avram Vines Bohra. It's mashkim, it's a svur. It's not a bad svur. It's some basic intuition. Three-year-old kids have it. And baya. Ben Shalish. Then there was someone that went a little past that, and it's like, there's a big rasog of God. He said, can't. There's a chves. And what's the other mishittas? I don't remember. 13, let's say. Then another guy said, I think you have to be at least 48 to understand God. Ramam, I think, brings that. 40? Episodes that number. Like, be real. You have to learn. Ramam has a list of things you have to learn before you understand God. It takes 50 years. What?
Ramam's masig. The writer's masig.
It brings a different madness.
Like,
it's a shit. And the real people, they say that nobody was ever. That's what it says in the Gemara, that Moshe Rabbeinu was a bigger Novi than Yishai Novi, because Moshe Rabbeinu said, Leirani Adam V'chayin, Yishai Novi said, Ve'eres Hashem. Right? Yeah. Gemara and somewhere. Understand? So that's the point. That's why I heard from a big tzaddik, what's Mashiach going to do when he comes? I'm going to burn the whole Sfurim Shank.
Who's that big tzaddik?
And a different tzaddik said, no, he's not going to burn it. I already told you this? The Rambam said. Because it's a joke. Megillas Esther is my version of the Torah. Like, a bunch of Shekirim got together. Somehow God was there, wasn't there? Yeah, Mountain Torah. You know, you heard this, Drishan Pirim. No, but this person, then there's different tzaddik. There was his neighbor. He said, no. Mashiach will come. Everyone will run to the Sfurim Shank. And they'll see that all the pages are white. Just because he wanted less violence. Like, he burned it. All the pages are going to turn white. So that's that's why we can't really say that we mean Shem Shemayim. It's true that there's a big klippa. That's why the Mushal says in the Maral, based on this, Chassidim say like that Esav was a bigger kibbutz Av than Yaakov. Well, Esav was a very serious person. Like, you know the Chum Sofer, right? You know the Chum Sofer. That Esav said, Yokim Uvi. He spoke to his father in third person. Mm-hmm. But Yaakov said, Kim, there's no sofer agoy. Agoy is uk tetate. And the sofer, that's taka dominic. And wherever he lived, and adayim is a dominic by most Yidins, is to speak to their father in first person. Even people that, like, they never say the Rebbe. He says, zach kadachoy, ma'oy, father, I wish to zuk. Yeah. But it's also a chitzpah that we say, burichata, I'm shigged. Then we right away skip. Asher. That says the Rashba, famously. But the Purim Dachm Zoyfer said that Isa was Yukim Ovi. He was like very proper and he kept distance and he always put on a different backkerchief to serve the Tata than to get the cook and so on. And Yaakov obviously didn't. And it was informal. And that's why Isa has a schiss, certain schiss. Very serious, very real. Like, not real, serious. Like, you're sincere. Taking things seriously. And the Maral says this is because, like this. The Maral says, like, look, tazoy. That why? Because Esav is a gifni. That's his theory, that Esav is choymer and gif, and Yaakov is in the Shema. Now, why do you have to mechav with your father? What did your father give you? Your seichel? Amake. It says in the Gemurah. Avedis uv, avedis rabbi. This is the biggest Gemurah that oilim haba. It's a mamash and ferish Gemurah, like the Shitzer Rabbam. Everyone says the Rambam made up something, but it's a ferish Gemurah. Rabbi mevi'e l'chayelam abu, ve'avif mevi'e l'chayelam azeh. The Rambam said that, olam haba means understanding. Said in Hilchos Tshuva. Olam haba is asugas Hashem. Not like other people say, olam haba is fressing lakshin when after you die, when you get reborn. Like the Ramban says. Chazal Shalom is not nishdeis, but mekem mayin is nishdeis. But the Rambam said that Olam Haba means understanding. That's exactly it. Looked in the same analogy, just like your father brought you to Chayil Mazel, your Rebbe brings you to Chayil Habu, gives birth to you intellectually, spiritually. In any case, so the Tate is Koydim. So comes out, Kim Toz, that Kibbadav is inside a gif. So Isav, who's a bigger gif yid, Goy, whatever you want to call him, was more Mechavad's father than Yaakov. That's why Yidin are Mechitzofim. Right? Why Yidin Mechitzofim?
Other fathers?
To their own father, because a Yid.
But Yidin also Mechitzof to other fathers.
Of course, that was Achille. Others, the Chavaman. Because a Yid, the Chsidish Yid, that's what I'm saying. Chsidim Zan Mechitzofim. Why the Chsidim Mechitzofim? Because, like, you gave birth to me. Okay, thank you very much for giving me my body. Well, no problem. What do I care about my body? Supposedly. Kirgan's good, but Lamazel. Mitzah his neshama is not you don't get your neshama from your father. The whole Tanya about this, right? You don't really get any neshama from your father. Your neshama you get from God or from your Rebbe. And the same reason, that's what Yaakov said to Rivka, to Rochel, Uchavani Bramus, right? Because loving Megrab a Ganev, he did everything according to the minig, which is to be a Ganev and a Shakran. But Yaakov said, look, and you have to understand something, it's very important this Ochavani Barimus, because Yaakov was the one that understood this Torah that I'm saying. He was the one that made it by Salihim. Right? And Yaakov said, I know you think Nebuch, Ruchul, Lima and Tzadik Tavna Gru de Mechel. How do you say Gru de Mechel of English?
A straight arrow.
Straight what?
Arrow.
Arrow? Yeah. A mechel is an arrow?
That's a straight arrow.
Nah, okay. You think that a tzaddik is a gru de mechel? Never, your father is a bluff. Everything. He says one thing and he means seven different things. And I can live, kipid, it says ishtam, ish pivili b'shuvim. So I have news for you. That's true that I know how to be a tumim. But also, ochavani b'ramus, I know how to be a rameh. Why do I know how to be a rameh? Because this whole like thing of like you have to make your promises, it's only one like levish, it's only one thing. One thing that humans can do, one thing that God does. But I also understand that God is much beyond this. So yeah, Lovon is not doing; he's doing this just because he's a bluffer. But Yaakov, you have to fulfill your own promises, Yaakov. He made an Eder and he fulfilled it and everything. But you can't take it too seriously because it says, "Anoyder Neder Kli Boy Nebama," right? If you take it too seriously, then you're Megashim. Then you're like you have a little small God. So since Yaakov never takes anything, yeah, Yehovah promised him Ruchel, he knows that what's the difference between Ruchel and Lion? In the eyes of God, what's the big difference? Right? What's the difference between Akidim, Nakidim, Ridim, Alt Oidim, one Oidim, Akidim? Lagabe God, it's all the same. Vashpilarov. So he can play with, he's very, very loose, very happy to play when it's needed. That's what Yalusha told me a pshat from, I forgot which Rebbe, that said, I forgot who that sounds true. She said that Yaakov was Ishtam. Ishtam means, is like Ishnami, is the boss on the Tmimus. Nishta Zatum. Again, a Ish, a Uden ala Tmimus. A Gewiss is an Atom, doch Gewiss is an Atom. So, of course, Mitzvah Tmimus is the Groisa Midah. It's a very big Indian. If you're just a bluffer, because, like, it's the opposite. It's because so much truth, because, like, you have such a good grasp on the truth that you don't, like, get stuck in anything. Very important. That's my drusha about Yaakov Avinu. That's how he was able to be Yochav Beramos. It says Narizal that Luvon is Beramos Aran Saf, whatever. Okay, anyways. It's very important to fulfill your promises. But it's like this is all like a weird Chassidish Lemetchis. That's also why, you know, like why it says that Rav Ganvi Yisrael, it says in the Gemara, in a certain context, halacha. Because Ayid knows this is the answer, man, it's whatever. It's all to the Irish, this, anyways. It says in Rashi, Shatza Pirim Torah already. Someone would say it. Yeah, no, that someone would say it. Something like, I don't remember. Somewhere it said that. No, Kalurat Shlakdish Burchi. Well, so the Raibish, nein, ich kerja. In any case, but there's some truth to that point. And that's why the clip of being a Yid, which is being a Chusid in our understanding, is to be a Ganev. All the goyim know that Eden don't hold their promises. You know that one of like big anti-Semitic libels against the Eden is that they say Kol Nedar every year, and therefore you can't rely on anything they say. You know, just like us, nowadays we have this thing, people have this thing with Muslims, or certain versions of Muslims, that they have a principle of takiyah, where they're allowed to lie. So this was an ancient anti-Jewish thing, same thing. Eden have a thing, once a year they go in the shul, and they say all the promises we're going to make here this year are null and void. Therefore, whenever you do business with Eden, remember that he said, Kol Nedar Smadrish. And
that's
there was
the
a home.
Maybe they got in more against it.
Some people were against it because of, I don't know if they got
in. Oh, maybe, like, I think it is Sag or one
that, that's true, but I don't think it's because of that.
Because of
later, there were people against it because of this.
The person.
Yeah. but it's true. It's true. It doesn't make it natural. You just need to know most of the time to be Makam Yuneda, which I tell you. So we're learning Hilchas Shemayin Vedokim. Perek Dalet.
I think there's also like, yeah, something like Tagad Ames the Misha Amna, you know, like if there's someone who you know is, you know, exploits all the area, you should go to the free area.
Nim Novel Tespato, that's, yeah, but why, what's the, like, why wouldn't a Litvak be masked to this hatter?
The truth that they live in is the highest one available.
You know, there was a reform roof that was sent to the concentration camp. And on his way out, he sent a check to the Stutt because he owed them taxes. Echte Jacke. Kids, maybe he was right, that guy. Ich weiß nicht, der mit der Sentenus. He owes tax, you have to pay tax. Either guy, what one got to do the other, right? Nobody should know this drusha. All the anti-Semites are going to be very happy with my drusha.
Yeah, you have to be a little bit more tone aware
when
I put this
on. The kids are...
I mean, there is...
They're going to discover.
...a way to get very famous these days.
You mentioned the word goy in drusha, and you just... Nick Futis
is... yeah, no. Was geht's? Mein Aufkommen. Kitzer am Aas ist, we have to still be honest. And then say that we shouldn't be honest. I think that this Uchav Beramuis thing has to do with, you know that there's not a mid of Emes in the Rambam's list of midas? I'm looking now. It's a whole big trusha, this whole shmiz. We have to get to it one day. But one of the ideas, and this idea would be that the truth is a big thing. Truth is not trivial. There's no trivial truths, right? Remember? You have to deserve it. Why would someone get the truth for free? Just because I have to, I'm a tzaddik, I have to say the truth. Truth has to be earned. Since there's like a very, very difficult understanding of what truth means. So someone that doesn't want the truth, he gets exactly what he wants. Or something like that. Okay. Kitzur Amasa. What we have to learn now is that there's a list, long list. We're already speaking for an hour, so we don't have to learn anything. We don't have to say that we're learning something. What we have to learn now is that there's a long list in the Shmoneh Perek and Perek Dalet. There was already a list also in Perek Bais. There's another two lists in Hilchas Dayas Perek Aleph, and another list in Hilchas Dayas Perek Bais, of the good middos. And theoretically, each one of these should be divided in three, because it should have like one extreme and the other extreme and the middle. Also, it's missing in many of them, one of these like parts. And it's very important also, the Rambam didn't seem to think that it's very important. This is part of my big problem with the Rambam these days, that he didn't really explain to us what he thinks. Because like, now that he tells you this list of good middos and that the center is the correct one, and we should, he should have like written a whole book, explained each middah, which is what Aristotle did more or less. And Rambam just didn't do it. We discussed last week that maybe Mishneh Torah is in some sense this as the way he understands mitzvahs, like we'll see soon. Then when we had discussed a little bit about the Yeres Chetla Mishnah, that mitzvahs are really the, at least chenach, at least the education of these middos. But really what being a good person consists of is having all the correct middos. But it does still seem to be important to have these lists of correct middos. So I can give you like a bunch of things that we have to try to find out about this list. And this is our project for the next year. After we already had the first project, which was finding out what a middah is, I think we're ready to find out. Now we have to find out, go through the list of middahs. The Rambam does a few general things about this, but doesn't really go through the list. So one thing to do is just to find out each middah that he talks about, what it is and how to do it. Like Bala Musa said, like take a month, a year for each. And work on it. That's one thing. Second thing is, that would be a very specific thing to do and a very important thing to do. For example, we talked about friendship, we should talk more about friendship, we talked about courage, we should talk more about courage, we talked about temperance, we should talk more about it, and more middos. Second thing is to figure out, which we did a tiny bit, but not really, to figure out what these lists work with, like what are they based on, like how do we divide them, what is the point of dividing, making these lists, what are the other ways of dividing them, how do these relate to some sense of higher levels of what middos are, which would be a whole different discussion, how does this relate to other lists that we have, which are like mitzvahs, which seems to relate to this, as Rambam will explain at the end of the chapter. That's another whole thing. So those are the two main things. What else is there? We will be working on these two things. One is each middah, what it is and how to get to the middle of it, the correct version of it. The other one is, second thing is more general thing, to figure out what these lists are, basis of them. There's many lists to compare. If I just gave you two sources or four in the Rambam to compare, you could compare to many other people that wrote books with lists of middahs and work through them, try to understand. Especially the people that are the Rambam sources, right? But also other people that are correspond to this, later and earlier and so on. It's interesting that nobody nowadays writes books with these lists. Does anyone?
Nobody know what?
Is there any like good book that like has like 10 best middahs you should get to yourself? The 10 best middahs. You can't make a list more than 10, that would be too much. 12 Ideas for a Good Life, what's the guy's name, book's name? Does that not mean this? What's Peterson's book called? 12 Something for a Good Life, no?
12 Rules for Life.
12 Rules? Are they middahs?
I don't know.
What are the 12 rules?
Be a crab or something.
What?
Be a crab.
No. No, that's not the list. I think some of them aren't kind of middahs. I think so. They're formulated as rules, not as middahs, but I think some of them are middahs.
So.
What? What, because it didn't say that they're middahs? Okay, so that would be one thing. The Rambam gets into arguments. For example, he gets into arguments with people who have the wrong understanding of specific middahs, and he says that they're on the extreme and so on. That's the second thing. And the third thing, so those, I want to say three things. First thing is the, each one of the list, which is the understanding of what's the correct one. Second thing is something about the structure of these lists. How would they be structured? Why are they structured in a certain way? What are the alternatives to the structures? Things like that. And the third thing, the third important thing, for the Rambam at least, and this is something very particular to the Rambam, I think, and we have to get to it and understand that the Rambam thought or understood that this idea of the difference between the ideal middah and the middah that we should educate ourselves toward for reasons of sickness, for reasons of his theory of needing to go to the other extreme sometimes in order to be healed, seems to have been a very important principle for the Rambam. Seems to be less important than his sources. The Rambam has expanded this principle very much. At least that's my understanding of the second. And he seems to include a ton into this, the whole discussion that you want to know about a chochem and a chassid has to do with this. and all of that. So those are three plans. So next 3 months, you know what to do. If you want sources, if anyone is interested in self-study, they could figure out what to study also. Or they could ask me. Or they could just come to the class and we'll talk about being a litvak. Okay.